All right, here we are in Acts chapter number 2, verse 41. It says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine." And we are continuing with this, looking at the importance of doctrine and really the preaching of God's word, the heralding forth of the word of God. And we are going to look at some examples of the teachings that is expected in New Testament churches. What kind of teaching, what kind of preaching does God want in His churches? So we're going to look at some of that here, and we'll continue with this. Let's go ahead and ask the Lord to bless this time now. Father, we've come before You again, and thank You for this privilege to come to You and pray and just ask, Lord, that You would teach us, Lord, and that we would hunger and thirst for righteousness. Lord, we would love Your Word, and we would allow Your Word to work in our lives. And God, we would take heed to it. Please, God, I pray You'd forgive us of our sins. Lord, forgive me, just the wicked heart that I have. I pray, God, You'd just forgive me and cleanse me. And Lord, just help me to be the messenger that You want me to be, Lord. And I pray that You would forgive the sins of this church, Lord. And God, sometimes it's just a simple neglect of You, Lord. And we don't read Your Word. We don't spend time in Your Word. We don't hear from You ever. And we wonder maybe why our walk with You is cold, and it's because we're not even trying to listen to what You have to say. God, forgive us for that. Please teach us, and Lord, help us to be like this first church. I sometimes don't know what it is, why there's the ups and downs in my walk with You, or what the deal is, Lord. I don't always understand that, but I ask You just to help us, God, that we would just stay on fire for You, and if we're not, Lord, You'd ignite a fire in us. Just a great desire for Your word, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we continue with this, what kind of teaching does God expect from us, or for us, rather, I guess, in His church, from the preaching from this pulpit? What does He expect? Let's go ahead and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, if we would. 1 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse 1. We see this first church, and we're looking at the characteristics of a healthy church. And it says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And really, I just want to remind us again, that was the preaching of God's word. They were hearing from the apostles what the apostles had to say. So something God wants us to understand here, as we see in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, and verse 6, preaching is to remind the brethren that there will be doctrines of devils creeping in. That's what God wants us to know and to understand, and many times that's neglected. And it's important, though, because this is how false doctrine comes in. This is how people are led astray. This is how churches cease to be churches, and this is what harms people. And this is why many people will say, I'll never go back to church. Because false doctrine comes in and they hear it, and it ends up harming them, harming their family. And they say, I'm done with that. I'll never do that again. I'll never do that again. So God wants the preaching to remind the brethren that there is doctrines of devils out there. Chapter 4, verse 1 of 1 Timothy says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. So the Spirit of God is speaking expressly. He's saying, here's a warning. Let me tell you that in the latter times, here's what's going to happen. Some shall depart from the faith. So they're going to leave the faith. So he says, be warned. Look, that's talking to us right here today in the latter times. He's telling us, hey, some people right in here are going to depart from the faith. Doesn't that bring it home? When he says that possibly, Lord willing, it's not anyone in here. But very possibly it's somebody sitting in here is going to depart from the faith. In the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. Now, why do they depart from the faith? What causes them to depart from the faith? They're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Look, that is not always just a preacher coming in either, though. Let me say that. That's listening to the doctrines of the world that draw them away, that pull somebody away from God. I just want to ask us, what feeds us more? What is feeding us? What is guiding the thoughts of our minds? Each and every one of us, ask yourself, what guides my thoughts? Is it the things of this world, or is it the Word of God? I mean, ask yourself, when you wake up in the morning, are you thinking of the things of God or the things of the world? Seriously, I want you to stop and think about that. What is guiding your thoughts? What is it? Because there's seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I'll just tell you right now, if you're listening to the world's music, you are following seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Amen. Period. I don't care who it is. You say, oh, it's soft rock, it's easy listening, it's country. I don't care. There's so much wickedness in all of that music. I'll take it a step further here. You take the lyrics out, even just the music that's played, it's wicked. Amen. Oh, that can't be. Well, how come godly music can drive an evil spirit away? That's what you see David did for King Saul. If godly music can drive an evil spirit away, can ungodly music tell him, come on in? Doctrines of devils and seducing spirits. So I'm just telling you right now, if you're listening to that music, I don't care who you are in here, if you're listening to that music, you're being fed and you're following doctrines of devils and seducing spirits, period. So let me ask you again now, what guides your thoughts? What's guiding your thinking? You know, I'm not really getting off on a thing, but kind of I am. We look at the doctrine of Christ and 2 John 9, and we're not to really have anything to do with those that don't follow this doctrine, that don't follow after the doctrine of Christ. And it says there in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's the doctrine that they followed. Let me ask us, even if we're going to listen to contemporary Christian music, which I think you all know I'm against that. Okay, there is a doctrine that comes with that. The people that sing contemporary Christian music do not believe like we do.
Amen.
They believe in all sorts of heresies. I'm telling you, there's heresies left and right that are filled within contemporary Christian music, and it's all throughout the songs. I mean, just rank heresy. Amen. Damnable heresies. I mean, most of it is connected with the charismatic movement. Almost all of contemporary Christian music is connected with the charismatic movement. Much of it is connected with the Catholic Church, which they're all going there anyway, but that's just a side point. But my point being with that is if we're to separate from false doctrine and we're to watch for seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, let me ask you, if someone's teaching, you know, tongue speaking and stuff, is that of God? Being slain in the Spirit, is that of God? If they're teaching praise to Mary and exalting Mary, is that of God? No, we'd say that's doctrines of devils. That's false doctrine. So why then would we allow those doctrines of devils and those seducing spirits to teach us through music? Why would we allow that? Why do we allow that? See, who's feeding us? What's feeding our thoughts? What's directing our thoughts? What's telling us, we go this way, we go this way? See, it's subtle the way it comes in, the way we let it come in. It's subtle. And God's warning us, He's wanting the preaching of His Word. As His Word is heralded forth, as His Word is brought forth, He's saying, hey, preaching needs to remind the brethren that there's going to be doctrines of devils creeping in. In the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. The reason why is because they give heed, means they listen to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And what do? They're speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with the hot iron. How do they speak lies and hypocrisy? Because they come and they say, I'm just like you. I'm just like you. I believe just like you. Oh, but did you know that's really wrong? They're hypocrites. And they lie. They're speaking lies and hypocrisy. They present themselves like they're just like us. And they're not. You say, well, how do we protect ourselves from this? We follow the doctrine of Christ. We let that separate us. So you guys are separating from everybody. No, we're following what God said. They chose to separate from us. That's what it is. They chose to separate from us. Hey, come on board. Amen. I want you with us. Praise God. That's why we want to have a camp meeting so we can teach these things. Come on board with us. Amen. We want you. We want you with us. But they don't want it. They don't want it. You know, this is the same thing that was hurled against ancient Baptists. You guys are separatists. No, we're just executors.
Amen.
We're just following what God's word says. You guys are the separatists. You're the ones separating from us. You're following this false doctrine, which God warned about. In the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. You guys separated from us. You left the faith. Not us. Not us. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. See, after a while, it gets to the point that you can't even talk to them. They're not going to hear it. Their conscience has been seared, it's been burned, that it has no feeling now. That's what happens. Do you know you can sear your conscience? You can sin so much against God that you sear your conscience and you don't feel it anymore? Forbidding to marry. Here's some of their doctrines, the doctrines of devils. Forbidding to marry. Who does that sound like? Catholic Church. It's a Catholic Church. Forbidding to marry. Commanding to abstain from meats. Who else is that? Good Friday. You can eat fish, though. That's not meat. What in the world are you guys talking about? Doctrines of devils. Which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And here's what he says in verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things. Timothy, you got to put the brethren in remembrance of these things. Thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of what? Help me now. What's those next two words? Of faith and of what? Somebody read it. Good doctrine. Good doctrine. Amen. Of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Hey, you're going to be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. That's what you got to give the people, Timothy, because there's damnable doctrines coming in. There's seducing spirits and doctrines of devils that are coming in. So, Timothy, what I want you to do is I want you to put the brethren in remembrance of these things and nourish them up in faith and good doctrine. Amen. Amen. He's warning them. Look, this is what they did over here in Acts chapter 2, Timothy. Let's just keep it going. Let's keep it going. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. The same, commit the same thing. So preaching is to remind the brethren that there will be doctrines of devils creeping in. Good doctrine also nourishes the brethren. We saw that. Good doctrine protects those that hear it. Let's go to 1 Timothy 4:16. He says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Good doctrine protects those that hear it. You'll save yourself. He's not talking about some work salvation. He's talking about, in the context of this chapter, you're going to save yourself from these doctrines of devils and seducing spirits. You're going to protect yourself. That's what you need to do. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. He said, Timothy, you better watch yourself first. Make sure you got things right. Make sure you're walking with the Lord. We're in 1 Timothy 4:16. But he doesn't just stop there. He doesn't just say, take heed unto thyself. He says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. And continue in them. It's interesting right there that it says, take heed unto the doctrine, singular. And then it says, continue in them. In them what? What's the them? Continue in them. Them what? The primary principles? The doctrine of Christ? Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So the good doctrine protects those that hear it. That's what all this is about. We say the walls of separation. Really, it's not walls of separation. It's walls of protection to keep the wolves out, to keep the enemy out. That's what it is. You could say it's separation. That's fine. But we're just executing what God gave us. We're just following what the Word of God says. And those others separate from us. You're causing division. No, we're not. You guys have departed from the Word of God. And that's the cry that's out there today within Christendom, with the stands that we take and the doctrine that we stand on. They say, you're just causing division in the body of Christ. You don't even understand doctrine. That's part of your problem, is you don't even know doctrine. You don't even know what the body of Christ is. You've got this made up invisible thing that's out there that no way fits in anywhere in the Bible. You're the one causing division. It is not us, I'm telling you right now. How are we causing division if we're following the doctrine in the Word of God? We're not the ones causing the division, it's them. And it's a protection for us. Doctrine also helps us live godly. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. There's a doctrine according to godliness. It helps us live godly. That's what it does. That's what God wants from us. Look, God says right there that the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. There's wholesome words, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and there is doctrine which is according to godliness. Obviously, God wants us living godly lives. Would anybody argue and say, no, He doesn't? Okay, so then, why is it that we can get adamant about living our ungodly lives? Why is it we can fight and say, no, I'm going to do this anyway? Why is that? Is that us following good doctrine and wholesome words? No, so what would we call that then? If we're not going to listen to God, what are we doing? Rebellion, rebellion, we're rebellious. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So in each of our lives, if we're not willing to follow what the Word of God says, plain and simple, we're being rebellious. We're simply being rebellious. Because I don't think there's anybody here that's going to say, yeah, God wants us to live ungodly lives. No. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, Ephesians 2:10. He created us to do good works, to walk in fellowship with Him. Well, can light and darkness have fellowship together? No, of course not. So how can we walk in fellowship with Christ if we're walking in unholiness when He is holy? See, it doesn't work like that. That's why if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He gave us a way to get things straightened out when we do mess up, because He says, you're going to mess up. He's like, I'm telling you, you're going to mess up. But the fact is that what we need to do is we need to humble ourselves and we need to come to God and we need to confess our sins. And He says there's a doctrine according to godliness. And that's what He wants from us. He wants us to live godly lives, to walk in godliness and to follow Him. And He gave us a way to cleanse ourselves. When He went to the apostles and He washed their feet, Peter said, hey, no, Lord, I have need that all of me be cleansed. And He says, no. You just need your feet cleansed. You're already saved, is what He's telling him. That's a picture He's painting. Your sins are already forgiven. You've been cleansed there. But because you're still in this flesh and you still live in this world, your feet are going to get dirty. You're going to sin still. So let me wash your feet. That's the picture that's being given right there. And Christ being a servant, okay? But the picture for us is that, look, if you live in this world, your feet are going to get dirty. You're going to need them cleansed. So what do? If we confess our sins, who is faithful and just? He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll cleanse us if we confess them. That's what we need to do. So doctrine helps us live godly. Doctrine should also reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse 2. Well, we'll just pick up in verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. What does He tell him? Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Isn't that what they're doing in Acts chapter 2? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's the preaching of the word. They wanted the preaching of the word of God. They wanted to continue in it. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and what? Doctrine. 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 He's telling Timothy, he's telling this preacher, hey, you just preach the word. Don't quit, Timothy. Keep preaching the word. And you need to have some long suffering with you, because guess what? Man, sheep are stubborn people. Sheep can be stubborn and they don't always do what they should. He says, you just be long-suffering. You just keep preaching. Just keep preaching. Keep praying. Help them. Preach the word. be instant, in season and out of season. That's when it's popular and when it's not. When it's an easy message, when it's a hard message. When the crowd's receptive, when the crowd is not receptive. When you know someone's going to get mad at you and when they're not. You just preach the word. Preach what the Bible says. Look, as you look back at the Old Testament, you look at the prophets, that's what they did. They said, "Thus saith the Lord," and the king throws them in prison or cuts their head off. Or has them beaten or something. But they just preached the word. And that's what we're to do today. It's no different for us today. This is what should be coming out of the pulpits, is just, "Thus saith the Lord." This is what God's word says. And I know not everybody likes it, but this is what God's word said. And hey, if we're going to be like the early church, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They continued in the "Thus saith the Lord," even though it meant, "Hey, I've got to change my lifestyle. I can't keep doing things the same way because thus saith the Lord." And hey, if we're really saved and we really want to serve God, then we're willing to fix those things. We're not willing to stay in ungodliness. We're saying, "No, I want good doctrine that leads me to godliness. I'm going to make those changes. I'm going to try and work on that. I'm going to do those things." And guess what? We don't have to do it on our own, in our own power. Amen. We can be filled with all the fullness of God, and we can have God helping us and the Spirit of God leading us. But we've got to submit to Him. Amen. There really does need to be a turning over of ourselves to God and allowing Him to work in our lives. Not pushing Him out. The Bible talks about, "Grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." We can grieve the Spirit of God because God's Spirit will be working in our hearts, and God's Spirit will say, "Hey, I want you to do this. You need to do this. Why don't you do this? Why don't you start going soul winning? Go, you ought to go soul winning. Come on, why don't you go?" And we say, no, I'm not going to do that. You just grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You just grieve the Holy Spirit of God. God says, "Why don't you read more chapters of your Bible every day? You're reading 2. Why don't you read 4? "I just don't have time. I like my sleep too much." You just grieve the Spirit of God. You just grieve the Spirit of God. Hey, God says, "Why don't you," or the Spirit of God says, "Why don't you go apologize? You were wrong. Why don't you go apologize at work? Or why don't you go apologize to your kid? Why don't you go apologize to your mom or dad?" And we say, no, I'm not going to do that. You just grieve the Spirit of God. And although we can't lose the Spirit of God, He indwells us. We can shut Him down. We can shut Him down. But you know, the Bible says in James, "Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh unto you." And I've gone to that promise so many times when I feel like I'm away from God. And I say, "God, where are you?" And it's always like there's a voice. There's not a voice, but it's always like God just like He's just standing just huge above me. At least this is how I picture it in my head. And He looks down at me and He's like, "Where am I? Where are you? You're the one that left." And that's always how it is. But that promise is there. And thank God, I like this, man. God takes bigger steps than I do. Amen. God takes bigger steps than I do. So as I draw nigh to Him, He's just says, boom. He's like, "I'm right here. I'm back." Or really, you're back. But He'll come to me. He'll come to you as you've gotten away from Him. See, we can always go back to Him. I thank God for that. What a promise that is. We look here at doctrine and what it should do. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. We're praying about, we want balance in this church. And if we're to have biblical balance, and you can see this in other places in the Bible, Jeremiah 1:10, Jeremiah 31:28. But you could call it a two-thirds ministry. It's two-thirds of, you could say, negative and one-third positive. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. And we need to be willing, see, if we love the Word of God, we're going to be okay with that. That's what it is, reproving, rebuking. That's saying this is wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. Get it right. Exhorting is the coming alongside and the helping, the encouraging, the lifting up. You know, that's what Barnabas did with Paul. He went alongside him. He was the son of consolation. He'd console people. He'd help people. And look, for us to be balanced, we need that. We need all of it. You know, we need people that are you know, consolers, that are exhorters, that can exhort to balance things out. That's necessary. We need that. Amen. But the preaching is to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. We suffer long with people. We're going to preach it and 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 watch. I'm just telling you, as a preacher, this is how it is. You preach it, 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 and you see that, man, nothing's happening. And you see people disobeying it, not following it, not doing it, and then all of a sudden, boom, one person gets it. And it's just being long-suffering, and then another person gets it. another person, another person. I mean, it could be with so many different things, but that's how we have to be, even as a church, even as church members, as we look at people, and we have new Christians come in or something like that, and you're like, man, why aren't they doing this? They should be doing this. Why aren't they doing that? Well, let them grow. Let them grow. Let them grow. Now, there's some things that are just basic. You know, you ought to just hit right away. Every Christian should just be on it. Boom. I'm doing this. You know, you've been saved 10 years, and especially you've been here after 10 years, man, you ought to know what to do. There's like almost zero excuse at that point, you know, for certain, just not doing certain things. But with somebody new, we let them grow. Let's just teach them. It's okay. It's all right. Amen. You're going to mess up. We don't get mad at a baby when they make a mess. You know, when they knock something over, they spill something, they break something, we don't get mad at them because we're like, that's what babies do. We just expect it. Well, although we may see a mature, 40-year-old or something standing in front of us and we think, man, they should know what to do. They're still a babe in Christ. They have no idea. They have no idea. So we're long-suffering with them. We allow them to grow. But it says, exhort, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. See, we don't get away from the Word of God. We don't get away from what the Bible says. We still stand on the Word of God, and we teach and preach the Word of God. And we hold people to that standard. We don't lower the standard because people haven't come up to it. I mean, that's something we have to begin to understand, is that, look, as we have people that want to join this church, we say, this is the standard. It's right here. It doesn't come down for you. You come up to it. And you say, man, you guys are just a bunch of separatists. You don't want people joining your church. Man, we're executors. We don't get to dictate. We don't get to change the rules and say, no, it's going to be like this so we can have people join the church. You must not want to join the church if you're not willing to meet God's standard. That's what it comes down to. That's what it is right there. It's not that we're mean and trying to exclude people. Man, if everyone would join this church, I'd be happy. Amen. If the whole city of Albuquerque wanted to join this church, praise God. I don't know where we're going to meet. Amen. But praise God. If you all want to, you know, here's the requirements. Here's what's necessary. But not everyone's going to want to meet God's standard. Amen. I mean, we can't just change it because we feel like it. I know some churches that they'll baptize people but not let them become members. They say, well, we don't want to keep them from, you know, obeying the first step of obedience after salvation, which is baptism. We don't want to be a hindrance to them in that. I'm like, praise God, either do I. Get your life fixed and then you can get baptized. Amen. Amen. You must not want it bad enough. You must not really want to obey God. I mean, they've baptized adulterers, fornicators, people living in fornication. I'm not happening. Why? Because God said it shouldn't. We don't get to change it. We don't get to change it. If I know that someone is a drunk and they want to come and join this church and I know they're a drunk, I won't let them do it. Amen. See, the standard's up here. God said it, not me. Amen. And if I know it, then I'm going to say, no, you have to fix that. You have to fix that. Would we let an adulterer? You know, well, my wife, she lives over here, but I'm living with this woman. You know, but it's no big deal. You know, we're going to get married. Well, you're not joining this church. We wouldn't let them, would we? Yeah, we lower the standard because, well, you want to help them. How can you help them if they're not here? And that's what churches say. That's what pastors say. See, now let me ask you something. What I just mentioned right there about just dropping the standard so people can join. Let me ask you, is that a doctrine of devils? Or is that a doctrine of God? What would that be? What's that? Devils, right? That'd be a doctrine of devils. So how can we allow that? How can we not separate from something like that? And really, again, it's not us separating. It's us saying, no, this is the line. This is the line that God set. And you're way off over there. Well, I don't know what you're doing, but you're way over there. Why don't you come over here? See, that's what it means to follow doctrine. And you know, just by taking that these stands, what the Bible says, means a lot of people will not join our church. They won't. People that might otherwise want to. We've had some people come that have wanted to, but some of the doctrinal stands we take, they didn't. They left. And we think, oh, that's awful. And it is. I mean, I wanted them to join. But did we not see how doctrine protects us? See, we have to understand that. I just want to read us this verse again. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. So what we see there is some departing from the faith. They're not willing to follow the faith once delivered unto the saints. They're not willing to follow the apostles' doctrine. We're not holding to anything unbiblical. But what you see going on in many churches is called pragmatism. Say, we're going to change things if it's effective. So if we can get a bigger church, if we can have more people come in, then we're going to allow drunks and fornicators to join our church. And everything else, liars, thieves, I mean, whatever. I've known adulterers stay members of churches here in this area. And the preachers knew about it. I mean, you've got these people putting videos of themselves up, doing all sorts of wicked things on Facebook. Going, getting drunk, drinking, holding their beer. I mean, you've got them doing all that stuff and still members of Baptist churches in town. Now, I'm sure you would like that family influencing your children, wouldn't you? But the argument is, well, how can we help them if they're not here? I just wish there was a Bible example of something like that. You know, in 1 Corinthians 5, it's almost like God knew stuff like this was going to happen. He said, here, let me circumvent your excuses. Let me show you what you need to do. There was a man in this church who's committing fornication. Verse 1 of chapter 5, 1 Corinthians. It's reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. So there's some gross, wicked fornication that even the Gentiles don't do. This thing's bad. It was probably, everyone says his stepmother because, oh, it couldn't be the other. Well, the Gentiles don't even do it, so I'm imagining it's the other. It's his mother. That's how I would see it, but you can't conclusively say that. But whatever it is, it's bad. It's fornication. Stepmom, mom, whatever. It's wicked. So what does God say to do in this situation? Well, hey, you can't help him if he's not there. So keep him there. That's what all these churches say. That's the prevailing thought in most every church out there, okay? Baptist on down the gamut, all of them. That's the prevailing thought is let them stay there so you can help them. Judge not. Who are you to judge? What does God say about it? Verse 7. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. He said, I already told you don't keep company with fornicators. What? Don't keep company with fornicators. What does that mean? Don't hang out with them. Don't be friends with them. If they're fornicators, don't keep company with them. It doesn't matter who it is. What does that mean for this father then? What do you think that means for this father? I didn't say it. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world or with the covetous. Look at that too, right there, the covetous. Extortioners, idolaters. For then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company of any man that is called a brother. Look, a brother. He's saved. He doesn't say he's saved if a man's called a brother. He could be, he could not be. And I think what Paul's saying is by that his actions seem to show he's not, but he very well could be. You can, look, I'm not promoting it, but someone can fornicate and be saved. But Paul stipulates, he says, look, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such an one, no, not to eat. Don't eat with him. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? Now let me just say the context of this, I believe it's talking about the Lord's Supper. You don't have it with them. It's talking to a local church right here. Verse 12, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. So don't leave them in the church. You put them away from among yourselves. He says they're a wicked person. So what do you do with that drunkard? That's not ashamed of it. That doesn't blush at their sin. You put them away from you. But we can't do that. They give. They tithe. We can't do that. And I'm telling you, this is the thought process that happens. This is what it is. But God says, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. So, doctrine should reprove, rebuke, and exhort. So what, as a preacher, should happen in that situation? Look, you go talk to that brother. You go talk to that sister. They're a member of that church. You go talk to them and you say, look, hey, what's going on? Here's what I saw. Here's what's happened. Here's whatever it may be. You know, this is the situation. You know, I saw you drinking on Facebook. You know, whatever it is, what's the deal? And hope if they get it right, then, yeah, it was wrong, it was wicked. There may be some consequences, something that has to be dealt with in that. But, you know, if they're willing to repent and get things right, then, okay, you can stay, you know, a member. We may have to, there may be some disciplinary actions that go forward from there. But great, I'm glad you're fixing this. But if they're just like, well, what business of yours is that? I can do what I want in my personal life. There's a lot I could get into on this, and I can keep going on this, talking about, man, you're harming the body, the Lord's body. You're harming this body. And no, you don't get to do what you want. When you submitted to those baptismal waters, you became a part of this body, and you submitted to walk according to the dictates of the Word of God, and you submitted to walk not after the flesh, but to be dead to the flesh, dead to yourself. That's what happened when you got baptized. You're saying, I'm dead to myself. I'm going to walk in newness of life. That's what you said. I'm dead to what I want for the sake of everyone here and for the sake of the Lord so He gets glorified. That's what you said when you got baptized. I'm done with that old life. That's not me. I want to walk in newness of life. That's what you submitted to. That's what you said. You're in a covenant, in a covenant with all of us that this is what we're going to do together. We want to be one unified body with no sickness, with no disease. And that's what sin is. It's a sickness. It's a canker. I mean, what it does, it brings in a just putrefying sickness and pus and every nasty thing you can think of into your body, into this body. That's what sin is. Isn't that disgusting to think of just something filled with pus and you just squeeze it and it just, and the pus just comes out and oozes all over and you're like, and it stinks too and just, oh, how disgusting. Right, that's how our sin is when we bring it in here. That's how our sin is when we live like that. We've got to start seeing it like that. Because when we see it like that, we'll say, I can't do that. We'll come to God. We'll say, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord. Help me. I don't want to do that anymore, God. God, please help me not to live that way. Help me not to do that. Help me not to think that. Help me not to say that. Help me get rid of this unrighteous anger. Help me get rid of this unrighteous fear. We'll see every sin is awful. We'll confess it to God when we see it as some putrefying, smelly, cankerous sore in this body. Because that's what it is. It's that bad. That's why we need doctrine. Because it helps us get right. But it also encourages us. We need it. It's good for us. It's good for our body. Thank the Lord for it. Father, we do.